Amen. Yeah, that's a key thing that Anthony was just saying there. Jesus transforms, doesn't he? He's all about transforming into his likeness. And it's there's nothing like his likeness. It is such a beautiful thing. And it kind of just leads us right into this morning's message. And this morning, I like to, when this time of year, when we're going through the Holy Week and the events leading up to Jesus' death and his resurrection, I love to just sit and just marinate on the scripture. And just there's passages that go through. Well, this time, he always shows me something new and different, and this time he definitely did. And it was something I was not expecting. And so this morning's message is really coming from what God is doing through me. And I trust that it's going to meet a lot of you right where you're at in your life as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at this historical celebration, this beautiful scene of Jesus entering into Jerusalem and his victorious entry into Jerusalem. And we're going to take it and we're going to look at it and how we fit into that picture. We're going to place ourselves into that picture and we're going to place ourselves and we're going to look at this scene, this historic celebration through the eyes of our heart. And it's going to impact our heart. And so what we're actually going to look at an odd question this morning, and I'm going to say it up front here so that you guys can just chew on it for a little bit. But it's going to sound a little bit odd, especially in Sunday morning church. But the question is this, that I want you to think about, is does Jesus as king threaten you? I know it's an odd question. I know, Paula. I see that face. Does Jesus as king threaten us? Does his authority as the king and the one who is the ruler, does it threaten our way of life? Does it threaten the control that we want to have? Matthew chapter 21 is where we're going to start today. Matthew 21, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And we're going to start here at verse 1. It says, as they approached Jerusalem, and they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to your daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on him, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them along the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. The whole city was stirred. And they asked, who is this? Who is this? I want to look at this picture for a minute. Let's just imagine for a second we are in this scene. All right, here you have Jesus. He's riding on the colt of a donkey. Now, donkeys are not very big for one. And you can imagine a colt is not very big, much bigger than obviously smaller than a donkey, right? This is the foal of a donkey. So you can imagine Jesus, now unless he's my height, right, which I don't think he was, his feet probably were really close to the ground as he's straddling this donkey or riding in on this donkey. And you can just imagine this full-sized man on a little colt donkey. And it's a little bit of a silly image, but this is the image that we have here of Jesus riding in on the colt of a donkey, the foal of a donkey. Now, an earthly king, what? He would be all strapped up on a big old muscular, trusty steed. He'd be all, you know, prim and proper up there, and he would be entering in, and his entry into the city would be one of showing his how impressed. He was trying to show impression and show that he is stature and power, right? But Jesus didn't come like that. He wasn't even on a saddle. People had just taken their clothes and their garments and laid them on top of the colt, and then he sat on that. So we have this picture here of Jesus who has been announced as coming into the city, and everyone stirs around. The entire city of Jerusalem is stirred. And now they're rushing to see him and to greet him as the king, the Messiah, who's riding in on a donkey, is coming in. And so they start waving palm branches. like we have here today. And they start waving palm branches. Now this is very significant. It's very significant that they were waving palm branches. Less than 200 years prior to Jesus entering into Jerusalem, there was a historical victory for the Jewish people. Less than 200 years prior, there was the Maccabean military who overcame, they came into Jerusalem and they overthrew all the pagan overlords that had inhabited and controlled and occupied the city. And so what happened is the Jewish Maccabean military came in and drove them out. And they celebrated by waving branches. So this act of waving branches is like, victory is ours! Victory for us! Victory, victory, victory! And so the crowds were shouting and they were waving these palm branches as this kind of victory. And this is what they were hoping Jesus was going to be. This is what they had believed Jesus was going to be. This man who came in to claim victory over the city and to establish the kingdom of God forever. It's like, yes, he's here. We know he's here. It's him. It's the Messiah. He's the king. Victory is ours. You know, I can imagine myself there too. Just like an Eagles fan. Yeah! Yeah, Jesus! You know, I can imagine myself. I placed myself in that picture. Yeah! You know? And imagine all these people. They're shouting and they're celebrating and they're praising him. And why are they doing this? And the reason they're doing this is because they all knew this prophecy. They were indoctrinated from early ages about the Messiah, the Savior who was to come. And they were told this scripture of Zechariah chapter 9 of King Zechariah. This prophecy was 500 years old. It had been a prophecy that had been handed down to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation. And here they are. Here they are. They get to see with their very eyes. And they knew it was him because it was identified as riding on the colt of a donkey. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to read this prophecy in Zechariah that was given 500 years before Jesus comes into the city. Now, imagine you're one of these people of the crowd. Imagine you've heard this prophecy before. It's been indoctrinated into you. You were educated in it. You knew that the Messiah was coming, the signs of the Messiah would be. Imagine what kind of king you would be expecting Jesus to be. It says this in Zechariah 9. Verse 9 through 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, which is another name for Israel, and war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations, and his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. What kind of king would you be expecting? You got the identification down. It says that he will come riding on a colt, on a donkey. Can't miss that. What kind of king would you be expecting? I will take away the chariots and the war horses and the battle bow to be broken. They had great expectations for this Jesus. And they showed as they shouted in the streets and they waved their palm branches. Victory is ours! Yeah, we win! They believed so strongly that this Messiah to come, identified as riding on a colt, would be the one. That he would be the one to drive out and to overthrow all foreign occupiers and oppressors in their land. At this point in time, it was the Roman Empire. So they're shouting. This Roman Empire, they were oppressive. They occupied the land. They ruled everything. They just threw their weight around, didn't they? And here they are. They're shouting, here's our Messiah. He's coming. He's coming right now. He's riding on a colt. Yeah! You know, some of them might have got cocky with the Roman Empire. Yeah, what? What? Here we come. This is our time now. And finally, this Messiah that they believed in, they knew this prophecy. They knew that he would be the one that was going to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. However, They believed that he would come, that this Messiah to come would drive out the oppressors and the foreign occupiers through force and through war and through bloodshed. They imagined a military mastermind that could not be defeated, that he was sent from God, a military mastermind sent from God to free the people of Israel from the oppressors and from the foreign occupiers. And they waited 500 years. That's more than us as Eagles fans have been waiting for something good, right? 500 years they've awaited this prophecy to arrive. And with eager expectation, they waited the day when this Messiah would invade the land to drive out the oppressors and to set up the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God. The expectation was so high for this promised Messiah. The highest of expectations. And you can imagine the disappointment when they realized that the king, this king and the kingdom he was establishing was not at all how they would imagine it. He did not meet their expectations. He did not meet their expectations. And so because he did not meet their expectations, and the expectations were so high of who they thought this Messiah was supposed to be, they were unable to see for themselves exactly what was taking place right in front of their eyes. Because they had built up this massive expectation in their own minds of what this physical Savior would do and what he would do to the physical foreign oppressors and foreign occupiers of the land. But you see, this kingdom invasion didn't look at all how they envisioned it. Where were his troops? Where was his armor? Where were his servants? This is not at all what they were expecting. This was not going to be an invasion through war and force and destruction as they once thought. They were not able to see it, but this was an invasion of the heart. An invasion of the heart. And it was intended to overthrow foreign occupiers. And it was intended to drive out oppressors. But not the ones who were about to put their awaited Messiah to death. The occupier, the foreign occupiers and the foreign oppressors of the heart. This Jesus came to establish his kingdom on this earth through the hearts of his people. Not by force. Not by coercion, not by destruction, but through humility and gentleness and with the purpose of restoring everything that has been destroyed. It's a complete anomaly as to what they were expecting. They thought he was going to come in here and just drive out with force a military mastermind and cause bloodshed and to proclaim the kingdom of God here. To drive out the Roman Empire and all their oppressors and all the foreign occupiers. But he came with gentleness and humility and the purpose of restoring all that had been destroyed. And to drive out the occupiers and the foreign oppressors of the heart. Such as sin, guilt, shame, and death. This was an invasion of the heart. Overthrowing all foreign oppressors. Such as sin, shame, guilt, and death. And for those who could not accept this, the ones that could not accept the fact that their Messiah that was coming, he was coming in a way that did not meet their great expectations that they had for him and who they thought he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to look like. For those who could not accept that this is the King, he became a direct threat to their hearts and to their way of life. And this is where I want to link the story to us. Here's the teaching moment right here. As Jesus is following Jesus' entry into the city, he goes into the city. And if you'll read, I encourage you to read these events all throughout this week and next week and just marinate on them and just allow God to reveal something in you that you've never seen before in these events. But as he's going into the city, he's entering into the city, and on the first day and on the days to follow, he is immediately challenged by the religious leaders and the chief priests of the day, of the city. And they questioned him, and they challenged his authority. Who do you think you are? coming in here and doing all this, turning up tables in the temple. Who, by what authority do you come with? Who do you think you are? And immediately he's challenged. Immediately his authority is challenged. And for the religious leaders of the day, this Jesus was a direct threat. He was a direct threat to their control. He was a direct threat to their authority. You see, the religious leaders of this day, they controlled everything. They had all the influence. People looked up to them. They went to them for guidance. They went to them for direction. And these religious leaders would do things and lead them in ways of just works. Do this, do better than this, do better than that, do a better job of this, do work, 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 work. And so this Messiah is right in front of them. And these religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, they all knew this prophecy in Zechariah as well. They were very schooled in it. And they had built up this great expectation of what he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do. And what they thought he was supposed to do was drive out with force. Drive out and overthrow these foreign occupiers by force and bloodshed. And because he came with gentleness and humility, it didn't match up with what they expected him to be. And so now they realized that it was going to be a lot different. And so now he was a direct threat to their control. He was a direct threat to their authority. And even though their Messiah was right in front of them, they couldn't see it. And even more appropriately, they didn't want to see it. Because to see it meant that they would have to give up control. And to see it meant that they would have to give all authority to this man. This king. They had all the authority and control. And they liked it. They wanted it. But they couldn't see it from themselves. And so they resisted this kingdom invasion of the heart. Because they did not want to give authority over to this man who claimed to be the King of Kings. This man claiming to be the all-powerful ruler of the kingdom of God. This man who did not meet their great expectations that they had for who this Messiah was supposed to be. They resisted this king because he threatened their way of life. He threatened their ability to control the situation. And he threatened their ability to be in control. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, there are times when this invasion, this kingdom invasion of the heart that comes from giving Jesus all authority in our lives becomes a threat to what we control and how we want to live our lives. There are times that when, just like the Pharisees, we feel as though this invasion of the kingdom of God made known through Jesus is a threat to control, is a threat to the control we think we have in our lives. So how about you this morning? Do you feel as though this king who comes so gently and in humility, does he threaten you? I know this is an odd question, but just allow it to sink in. Open your hearts to receive this. That maybe this king and his authority threatens you, not in a way where you're fighting back and against him, but maybe you're threatened in a way where you have to put up a guard and say, I'm going to have to resist you right here. At this place in my life, I'm going to have to resist your authority. How many of us here today, if we really sat and thought about it, could honestly say that the invasion of Christ in our hearts, as gentle and as humble and loving and joyful of an invasion that it is, at times threatens the control we want to have over areas of our lives? And subconsciously, and maybe not even intentionally, we resist him from invading those areas and from overthrowing the foreign occupiers in our lives. And we say, Lord, these areas of my life, they're occupied. I've got control of this. I got this, Lord. To be honest, I don't want to give it over to you. Your kingdom can invade all those other areas of my life, but this area is occupied. And because it feels like a threat, and we don't want to give it over to his authority and to his rule and to his reign, we end up hardening our hearts. And we end up resisting him in prayer. We end up resisting him in worship. We end up resisting him in reading the word. We end up resisting him by isolating ourselves and not fellowshipping with other believers. And we build up this wall. Again, a lot of times it's unintentional. And we're just unaware that it's happening. But God today is asking each and every one of us to allow his humble, gentle kingdom invasion to overthrow those occupied areas of our lives.
Amen.
And he will not do it by force. And he will not do it by coercion. But he will do it with loving kindness.
Amen.
And like I said at the beginning, this message is coming from what God is doing in my life. And I've been meditating on this passage for days now. And he showed me this. And the Holy Spirit just revealed this to me. And these areas of my life that I unknowingly was holding on to and wanted to keep control of. And you know, a lot of times these occupiers and these areas we want to control, they don't come necessarily from our past. A lot of times they do. Maybe things that happened in the past. But a lot of times we let these things build up just from going through life. Just from going through life. For me, I had allowed bitterness and resentment to build up. And I wanted to control those areas of my life. I allowed those areas to occupy parts of my heart. And I wanted to hold on to them. I really wanted to hold on to them because in my mind I could justify why I had them. You imagine the Pharisees, they could justify a million times upside down why they felt the way they did and why they would resist Jesus. And when I recognized that the king wanted to invade those areas of my life and to have complete dominion, I resisted because I didn't want to give him control of it. I was like, I want to hold on to this. I like it. I'm good with it. You can invade all these other areas of your life, but this place right here, this is occupied. And I, like the Pharisees, saw his kingdom invasion as a threat to that control. And again, we may even be unaware of it. You know what I mean? It's not always something that you're very aware of. Sometimes you just kind of let it fall to the wayside and you just kind of end up going through life with it and then it's just there again. And you just kind of forget about it. It's like an unintentional thing. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to pray for you all. I trust that everyone, I'm believing, the Lord led me to this, and I'm believing that it is resonating with some people in here. And I know that the point was not to bring us all down. Right, because this is a beautiful celebration of victory. Because we know the truth. And the truth is that Jesus came to establish his kingdom inside our hearts. It says in Luke chapter 20 that the kingdom of God is within you. It's in your midst. Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. And so can I ask the worship team to come on up? And we're going to leave here with a celebration. But before we do that, I want to pray for us all. I want to pray for us all. We're going to leave here in celebration, and we're going to leave here singing and waving our palm branches in victory, because the victory has been won. And we're going to dive into that more next week and on Good Friday. You might be here this morning, and this message may have resonated with you and where you're at in life, and maybe unknowingly you felt threatened. Threatened by the authority of Christ in those areas in which you want to hold control over. And the Lord's just saying, let me have it. Because when he takes over those areas, and when he takes all authority and complete dominion, he does not do it with force. He does not do it by coercion. He does not destroy and bring destruction. He brings restoration. He brings love and gentleness and kindness and compassion. This is your king. This is your king. And I know that when we give everything over to him, I believe with everything inside of me, I believe with everything inside of me that to give him everything is so much better, so much more freeing. Than just holding on to this or to that or to this and having control of those things. And so I want to pray for everybody. And I want you to think, and I hope you've been thinking about maybe it's an area that God is pinpointing in your life. Maybe for some of you it's not bitterness and resentment towards a situation, but for some of you it may be completely different. That you want control of areas of your life and you're not ready to just give Him control of those areas. You're comfortable in those areas. You're familiar with those areas and you feel like you got those areas under control. And to give Him authority to the king seems like a threat. And because it seems like a threat to change everything that you once knew as to be right, you resist Him. Maybe you're resisting Him in prayer. Maybe you're resisting Him in your worship, in your reading of His Word, and your fellowshipping with Him. But God this morning is saying, give me all of you. Give me all of you and watch what I do through you. Give me all of you and watch what I will do through you. You cannot imagine what I'm about to do through you. If you give me every area of your life and of your heart, I guarantee you, He says, that you will not be disappointed. He does not fail. He does not disappoint. I am living testimony, living proof that to place your trust in God is the best decision you could ever make, and that He does not disappoint. It was kind of like what Jody brought earlier this morning. Some of you may be here today and you're afraid to give Him everything because you're afraid of your worst fears coming to life if you gave it over to Him. I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. But your King is here, gentle and humble. He's in this place right now. He's in your hearts right now. And He's gently and humbly asking you to just lay it down before Him, to lay down your palms, to lay down your garments, to lay down those areas of control over to Him and let Him have complete authority. So I just want to pray for you all. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. Your presence is so very tangible in this place right now. Your Spirit is here, and Lord God, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is where there's freedom. There is freedom in this place, Lord God. Lord, at times as we go through life, we end up holding on to things. And after we hold on to things that we know are not right, we know that we need to give over to You, we end up just holding on because we want control over those areas. We like to have authority in some of those areas. But Lord, we recognize that You are the King. That You're the King of Kings, that You're the Lord of Lords, and that all authority belongs to You. So God, as Your people, we choose today to lay down those things. To lay down those areas of our lives, those foreign occupiers of our lives that we like to hold on to and the places where we like to have control of. Lord, we lay them down before You. We prostrate those areas before You. We surrender and in submission, Lord God. We say, here, have all of us. Have all of me. Come and invade with Your kingdom those areas of my life. Bring kingdom invasion into those areas of my heart. And so in surrender and submission, Lord, we ask You to overthrow all the foreign oppressors and occupiers that we've held on to. For You are the King of Kings, and You are the Lord of Lords. And today we stand as a people who are free to rejoice in You, and to shout and to celebrate the victory of the King who is our King.
Amen.
And we thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.